This morning, I'm going to be talking about thy word, and I would like to read from Psalms 119 and 11, and then we're going to jump to Ephesians 4 and 14. Last Sunday, we talked about prayer, the importance of prayer. This Sunday, we're going to be talking about the importance of his word. And we live in a world today that his word is more accessible than it's ever been. But I think we read it less than we've ever read it. They say that only about 11% of the population in the United States reads the Word of God. And out of the people that call themselves Christian, they say 1 out of 4 never touch a Bible. 1 out of 4 of people that profess to be a Christian. And so it's very hard to know him without knowing him, without getting a hold of his word and allowing his word to speak into your life. And so this morning we're going to be talking about in the adult Sunday school class the importance of his word. And it says in Psalms 119 and 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Thy word I have hid in mine heart. That I've taken your word and I've put it inside of me. I've tried to make sure that I've got it a part of my life. Because if I know it, if I've got it, if I live by it, if I'm dwelling on it, that I may not sin against thee. Ephesians 4 and 14. That we henceforth, in the past, it was all right. In the past, we were children. In the past, we didn't know any better. In the past, it was just we were ignorant. But he said, henceforth, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It's scary to be deceived. I pray every week I'm going to find a time and I'm going to talk to God about, Lord, don't let me be deceived. Don't let me be deceived by myself. That's a scary place to be deceived by, is when you deceive yourself, when you have pushed beyond so many times that finally you're convinced that it's right in your own mind. Lord, don't let me deceive myself. Don't let the enemy deceive me. Don't let the enemy deceive me. God, help me not to be deceived by the enemy. Don't let somebody else deceive me. Pray that prayer. God, don't let somebody else deceive me. And don't let the word deceive me. I've watched people that were so desperate to find something new, so desperate to find something that it was like a patch on their arm, that if I could find a new doctrine, if I could find something special in the Word of God that nobody else has seen before, if I could find something that is different, that would make me different. I've watched people lose their mind over things that they've contorted in the Word of God. We've got to make sure that the Word means what it means, it says what it says, and that what we believe is right and it aligns with the Word of God. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that you speak to us today, oh God, that your Spirit would move and flow. Lord, that your Holy Ghost would move and flow in our lives, God. Lord, I pray that you would give us a burden and a hunger to know you through your word. I pray, oh God, that your Spirit would rest in this place today, oh God. Lord, that there would be something inside of us that would begin to stir, God, that there would be a hunger to get a hold of your word, to feed from it, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. We need to keep in prayer. We've got a lot of people on vacation today. We've got people from anywhere in the Caribbean to honeymoons to we've got them everywhere. And so we need to pray that God would keep them, protect them, keep their health, and bring them home safely. And so the Thompsons and the Robinsons, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, they had a good time. They had Riley almost convinced that they were going on the same cruise as them for their honeymoon, and they were going to be keeping an eye on them. That had Riley all stirred up, and yeah. So, thankfully, Riley, the favor of the Lord shined down upon him, and they didn't have to travel with the Robinsons and the Thompsons on their cruise. So, there's a man in Chicago. This is written by the Chicago Tribune. His name was Reuben Brown. Reuben Brown was ran a business where he took care of the cockroaches and the bugs in your home, and he was always trying to find a way to make a buck and find a way to enhance his business, to find things that were cheaper. And he came across a man in Mississippi that had a product that would take out cockroaches like nothing else they'd ever seen. So he would drive from Chicago down to Mississippi and buy thousands of gallons of this stuff, and created a very successful business there in Chicago, being an exterminator and taking care of cockroaches in the neighborhoods. And it worked so well that he didn't have to put up any signs. He didn't have to put anything in the paper. It was word of mouth. People would have problems, and they would. He would come in. He would spray the Mississippi stuff, is what he called it. And so they would call him up. We need the Mississippi stuff. And so if somebody tells you they need something from Mississippi, you better take a step back. But he needed the Mississippi stuff. And so they would tell their friends about it. Hey, we had cockroaches everywhere, and he came in and took care of it, and everything was great. And so word of mouth, he had a thriving business as he would go and spray the Mississippi stuff all over the apartments there in downtown Chicago. The problem is what he didn't know is the EPA had a ban on this product. This product was meant to be used in the fields to kill weevils and different things like that on farms. It was not used to be put in homes and to be inside. And so as it would stay inside and it was not exposed to the elements, it actually created some very toxic chemicals and things that begin to create problems that would actually attack the neurological system of people that it was in their homes. And so they had to go through. They had to go through all of the homes that he'd ever been in. They had to inspect them. And before it was all said and done, he had done over $20 million worth of damage in the city of Chicago just by spraying poison to kill cockroaches in people's homes. $20 million of homes being ripped up, tore out, and put back together because he had failed to find out what was on the label. He had failed to do his research to make sure that what he was doing was right and what he was doing was the correct way to be doing it. That's why we've got to understand the importance of the Word of God in our life. It doesn't matter what anybody else says to us. We've got to make sure that it aligns with the Word of God. I can't just take somebody else's idea of what the Word means and be like, well, that sounds good. I can't just get on the internet and last night I was just scrolling and reading different articles and came across this guy and begin to listen to what he had to say and the caption on it. He was a minister, and I thought, well, I want to listen to that. And about halfway through it, I was saying, I'm not really jihawing with what's going on here. Not only do I not feel comfortable with what he's saying, I'm pretty sure that some of the stuff that he's saying is not quite aligning with the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't spend time in the Word of God, if you're just expecting for whoever's around you or whoever proclaims to know the Word of God to be telling you the truth, and you just base what you know upon what somebody's told you, then we can easily be deceived. That's what the scripture in Ephesians is telling us, that we've got to be careful because there are people out there that are trying to deceive, whether they are knowingly deceiving or whether they are deceived themselves or whether they don't really know what's going on. And they're doing it out of ignorance because they haven't studied it for themselves. We have to make sure that we know the Word of God for ourselves. We see in 2 Kings 22 and 8 that they find the word of God. Josiah had been king since he was 8 years old. Everybody before him was bad kings. There was idolatry. There was all kinds of things that were going on in the children of Israel. And so here they are cleaning out the temple. This is how bad things have gotten. The temple didn't even have a Bible. The temple didn't even have the word of God. They'd been getting up and going through the motions. They'd been giving people pep talks. They'd been going off what they could remember in the past. They'd been going off tradition and things that had been going on. But they didn't have the word of God in their hands. And the priest one day while cleaning out the temple comes across the word of God. He comes across the law, and all of a sudden something changed as they brought the law to Josiah. They begin to read the word to Josiah, and Josiah was a good man. He was not an evil man. He was not a bad person. He was not an evil king before this moment in time. But as they begin to read the word of God to him, he was so convicted by what he heard that he literally rent his garments because he was being revealed truth to him, and his life did not align with truth. What he had been told, what he had believed, what he thought was not truth, and what he thought was going on and where he thought he was evidently was nowhere even close to what the word of God that was being read to him. And the scripture says that when the word of God was revealed in his life, that he literally ripped his clothes in such distress because that he understood how far away he and the people of God had gotten from God. He had come to the realization of how far away that they were. We read where Paul is talking to the Romans in Romans 7. He says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid." He's dealing with people that think that it's all about grace, it's all about love, it's all about God's mercy, that we can just do whatever we want. And Paul's trying to remind them, you better have some word in there. You better make sure that all this grace and mercy and all of this freedom aligns with the word. And Paul's telling them in Romans 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He said, there were things in my life I didn't know about until I read the word, and then I realized I was not where I needed to be. He said that I felt okay about things that were in my life until I applied the word to my life. So we cannot remove the word from our walk with God. We cannot take away the word of God out of our lives and just say, well, it's just all about love, and it's just all about his mercy, and it's just all about his goodness. Paul said, no, you don't understand. If we're going to be conformed into his image, if we're going to look like, talk like, act like, and become what a Christian, what does the word Christian mean? It is a reflection of him. If we're going to become that, the only way that that's going to happen is having a understanding of the word of God, an understanding of his word. It's John 1 and 1. It says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how important the Word is. When you read the Word, you're reading God. When you put that Word inside of you, when you put it in your mind and in your spirit and in your heart, that's a piece of God that you're reaching out there and saying, God, I want this to be in my mind. I want it to affect my spirit. I want it to affect my thoughts. I want it to affect my actions. I want it to affect the way that I am. And so in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing is made that was made. In him was life, and the life and the light of men, and the light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehended, it literally means it could not take over. It could not control. It could not bind. That there's something about it there that when the word is put in there, that the enemy cannot control the word. It tries to manipulate. It tries to deceive. It tries to convince. But when the word is applied, when the word is laid down, when the word is put there and truth is put down, the enemy can't do anything about it. It's John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's Acts 17 and 27. It says that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. For in him we live, we move, we have our being. As certain also as our own, as your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. That they should seek the Lord, that they might happily feel after him. How am I going to seek after the Lord? A lot of times we say, well, prayer. Exactly. We seek after the Lord in prayer. But also we seek after the Lord in our time that we spend with him in his word. Whatever amount of time that you pray, you need to try to spend the same amount of time in the word. You've got to make sure that the word and in his spirit is there's a balance in our lives. I've watched people that have gotten so spiritual without word that they weren't any good. They got deceived. I've seen so many people that were so into the law that they couldn't have mercy, and they weren't spiritual on the other side. There's got to be a balance in our lives, a balance of seeking after him in prayer, and a balance of applying his word into our lives. John 17 and 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That the word, we've got to understand, wait a minute, that this is eternal life. That this word has something to it, that there is eternal life here, that we might know that he is the only true God, Jesus Christ. It's Genesis 2 and 7, and the Lord might be formed in the man of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the word of God is put in our lives for what reasons? It is profitable for doctrine. How are we going to be saved? We're going to be saved because of the doctrine. It is for reproof. It's for making sure that we align. It is for correction. It is for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 in the Amplified says it like this. Every scripture is God breathed. That God breathed into Adam and life came. That when we read the word of God, that he is literally breathing. It is God breath that he is breathing into our lives. Some of us, we deal with depression and anxiety and stress and all of these things that are going on in our lives. And we will turn to self-help. We'll turn to our secret places of our sanctuaries to find peace. But if you want to find true peace, open the word of God and begin to read it and apply it to your life. You want to find strength, you find it in the word of God. You want to find something that is better than any drug that can heal, literally heal a mind. You've turned to the word of God. I've seen people that their mind was blown on drugs, couldn't hardly hold a conversation, but they begin to make up their mind that they were going to apply the word of God to their life. And they begin to read the word of God in their own simple way. And as they read the word of God, literally God began to heal things in their mind that have been destroyed. There is power in the word of God. But we've got to trust the Bible enough to allow it to change us and to correct our thinking. We've got to trust the Bible enough to understand that if it's in the word of God, then it is truth. If it's in the word of God, then I need to apply it to my life. And I hear people say, well, it's only mentioned once in the word of God. Well, it's still mentioned in the word of God. If I tell my kid, don't run out in the street, and I never tell him again, I still mean don't run out in the street. And there's something there. There's a reason that God said it. It's Romans 12 and 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How am I going to renew my mind? I've got to put it into the Word. I've got to allow the Word to breathe into my mind, into my spirit, into my soul, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we embrace the Word of God as the book of life, it opens up a whole new world to us. It can explain human nature. It can explain God. It can explain our temporal existence. It can explain sin. It can explain salvation. It can explain judgment. It can explain eternity. It can explain eternal life. There is something about the Word of God that we've got to understand, that it has to be applied to our lives. Jesus is standing there and Satan is tempting him as he'd been out in the wilderness for 40 days in Matthew 4 and 1. And when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now this afternoon, if you decide that you're going to miss lunch, or something happens and you've got to skip lunch, something happens at work, or you get called out, and I imagine most of you are going to find a time to make sure that you replenish yourself. Some of us don't eat because we're hungry. We eat because we don't want to get hungry. It's a preventive measure. It's not because we're starving. It's because we want to make sure we don't get to that place, you know. And so we'll make sure that we're going to find that food. We're going to eat. We're going to make sure that we replenish what we did not receive. But how often do we not sit down at the table and open the bread of life and feed from it? We can't hardly go a day, one meal, but we can go days, weeks, possibly even months, and never open the Word of God in our lives. That we can go, and we've got it on our phones, we've got it on our laptops, we've got it on our iPads, we've got it all over the place. We have all of these things that are around us that we can have it right there at our fingertips, and we just allow it to keep going. We're not going to miss a meal, we're not going to miss a moment, but we will pass by moments of opportunity to put the bread of life inside of us. Without the bread of life, we cannot be saved. We cannot be changed. We cannot be conformed into His image. We cannot have our minds renewed to become what He would desire for us to be. Without food, yes, we might not make it, but our food has no eternal value. It is just for here. It's Matthew 22 and 31. It says, by touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read? Jesus is constantly coming to them and saying, have you not read? Have you not looked into the Word? Have you not checked this out? Have you not looked into this? Have you not made sure that this is right? Jesus would even challenge them with their own word. Have you not read? Have you not checked this out for yourself? See, first and foremost, we have to read it. You have to. You've got to read it. And sometimes we feel like, we feel guilty. Like, I should know more of the Bible. I should be a Bible scholar. I've been in this for a long time. I should be able to do more with it. And it's almost like why start now? Why get into it now? I don't remember what I have read, possibly. I haven't. You've got to start reading it. Just put it in your mind. Just begin to pick it up. You don't have to read thousands of scriptures a day. You don't have to read entire just chapter after chapter. You would be better off reading, and I'm not trying to say, oh, don't, no, you need to cut back. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you would be better off reading a chapter and applying that chapter to your life than reading an entire book and applying nothing to your life, not getting anything out of that book, but taking time and, okay, how can I apply this to my life? How can this be applicable to me? How can this change me? How can this work on me? What can I do today to apply this scripture to my life? And don't think that God's not going to use His word, His breathed life, to speak to you as you read the word of God. He will speak. You'll think, well, I don't know where to start or what to do or what's going on. And the word of God can speak to you whatever's going on. You can read it from the first page to the back page, and it doesn't matter if you're in Exodus. God can speak to you about your problem in the middle of Exodus. You can be talking about all the begots, and God can find a way to speak to you when you begin to put it inside of you. It doesn't hurt to have a reading plan. Devote 365 is a reading plan that PPH has put out that you can reuse. The bread is a great place that we have that you can take those and you can use the bread to read through the Bible throughout the year. Life Church out of Tulsa, they have a lot of different apps and things that you can use, Bible reading programs, free apps that they'll pick. They'll have the scriptures for you every day. All you've got to do is go and read the scriptures that they have for you. There's one of my personal favorites. It's called the Bible Box. It is an app that you can put on your phone or your iPad, and every day when you read you're trying to read the Bible through per se, when you read that chapter, there's a box and it's got all the scriptures there, and you can pick how you want to read it through. If you want to read it through chronologically, if you want to read it through from beginning to end, they've got different places that you can read it through, and you just click the box, and you read Job 2, and you click Job 2, and it just starts clicking off the boxes. So when you come back to it, it's right there on your phone. Well, I've already covered Job, I've already covered Nehemiah, I've already covered Jeremiah, and so you just click the box and it'll you know, and you can come back and I've already read this, and then just different ways to find ways to put the word of God inside of each and every one of us. Let the word of God speak to you. If you're reading the word of God and tears begin to run down your face, or something inside of you gets excited, get your pen out and mark it. Write notes in the side of it of what you're feeling at that moment in time, what's going on inside of your life. And, oh, well, it's holy. And I get that. I don't even like anything being put on top of my Bible, but I'll sit down with 5 different colors of pens, and man, I'll mark this spot and I'll mark that spot and I'll write over here in the margin, and because I want to get this inside of me. I want to learn while I'm doing this. I want it to be a part of my life. If God's given me something, when I come back and read that spot next year, ooh, I don't want to forget what God was dealing with me about. Write in your Bible. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Get you a new one next year if you have to. Keep that thing. Pass it down to your children. One of my most prized possessions is my granddad's Bible. That thing is marked up. It sits in my office, and if one bad thing happened and I could only take one thing besides my family, that would be the thing I grabbed up. But it's full of notes. It's marked up where he sat down. It's tore up. It's fallen apart. It's got pieces of it that are coming out. Why? Because he spent time with that thing, and he applied it into his life, and because he applied it into his life, it was applied into my family, and because it was applied into my family, I'm here today. You've got to read it. You've got to find a plan. You've got to mark. You've got to keep putting it inside of you. Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, or nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God." In other words, that scripture says his delight is in the word of God, not in somebody else's opinion, not in the ungodly's counsel, not in the way of the sinner, not in the way of the scornful, the ones that talk, the ones that talk about everything that's wrong, the gossipers, the ones that find everything that's not right, the ones that can find everything in the church that's not good. No, he's saying that delight in the word of God, and the word doeth he meditate day and night. and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, how would you like that to be a part of your life? That you would bring forth fruit, that you would be planted next to a river. Now, I've lived in the desert. There are trees that do not grow in the desert. There are things that cannot prosper in the desert unless you can be driving out in the middle of nowhere and you can begin to see trees and you know that there is some kind of water at that place. There is something that is feeding them at that place because nothing else can grow, and all the sudden you'll see a stretch of trees, and if there's not a house there watering them, you know that there's a river, you know that there is something there that is creating a life source. And that's what David is saying, that there is a life source, that you will bring forth fruit, that you shall not wither, and whatsoever you do, you shall prosper. Acts 17 and 11 and 12 says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. They brought it to them. So they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in which that they received the word in all readiness of mind. Not only did they receive it, not only did they get up and preach the word to them, not only did they get up and deliver the word, but after they were delivered the word, they just didn't take it at face value and say, well, well, he said it. So, no, they went home, and the scripture says, not only did they take it with readiness of mind, but they searched the scripture daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women which were Greek, and of men not a few. That there was a powerful church that was being built. Why? Because of people that were putting the word inside of them. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divideth the word of truth. I have to have the heart of God. I have to make it a priority to live by his word, because it's Hebrews 10 and 15, whereby the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds I will write them. Psalms 119 and 11, again, thy word I have hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. 1 Peter 1 and 22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. What happened here? You purified your souls in the obeying of truth. What is truth? Truth is the word. How was your soul purified? Through truth, through the word of God, by applying it to your life. And so they applied it to their life. Their souls were purified. Seeing, he says, and where did they get this from? It was from truth. Seeing that ye loved one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That this word liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all glory of man is flowers of grass. The grass withereth, and the flowers therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God has to be applied to our lives. I believe you say it, the The Kim Yell people of Indonesia is a small tribe up in the mountains of Indonesia. For years, all they had were small portions of the New Testament that had been translated into their dialect and tongue. All that they could do is when missionaries would come, they would teach them the dialect, or they would teach them and translate what the word that they said or where they were preaching, but they had no real basis to base it upon. And so they could study the small parts that they had, but it wasn't until 2010 that the New Testament was actually translated into their dialect. They knew that it was coming. They were up in the mountains. They had a small airstrip there where supplies and things were brought in. And literally hundreds of people from that town stood out on that runway, and they cried and they wept and they cheered as those Bibles came flying in that afternoon. They celebrated. They danced like the children of Israel when they walked across on dry land, because something was being delivered to them that they'd never had able to have before in their lives. 2010, the first time they were ever going to be able to open their own Bible and read the Word of God for themselves. And they celebrated and they danced, and it was mayhem when they began to pass them out, as they would grab those Bibles and they would thrust them to their chest and they would weep and they would cry, because they knew the importance of it. They knew what they were getting and that they needed it in their lives. And if we're not careful, some of us might could quite possibly write our name on the top of our Bible because of the dust that is gathered upon it. I asked somebody the other day if they knew where their Bible was. Hey, you need... And they didn't quite know. I think I can put my finger on it. I think I can... Where is it at? Is it a part of your life? Is it somewhere that you can get to? Is it somewhere... Well, it's a good one. I don't want to tear it up. Tear that thing up. It's all right if pages get ripped in it. It's all right if it's got tears on it. It's all right if it gets raindrops on it while you're running from the car into the house. It's a tool that has to be applied to your life. I'm not going to be judged upon how pretty my Bible is. I'm going to be judged upon how much of that Bible is inside of me and how it affects my life and how it changes my life. Not only does the Word of God change us, but the Word of God is powerful. There are things in that Word, like 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Things like 1 Peter 2:24, "Who hath own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead in sin should live in righteousness. By those stripes we are healed." There are things in that Word of God that we can begin to read, and it begins to bring faith to us at that moment in time. That if you're dealing with fear, you can read that we're not here with a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you've got sickness, you can go to that Word, and it's His Word that can breathe life, that says, "By His stripes we are healed." It's Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say in the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end." That He knows the ending. He knows what's coming. He's already got thoughts of love and peace towards you. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 Peter 2:4, "Who in His own self bare our sins." I've already read that one. 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." God, I need You. God, I've got some situations going on in my life. God, I need You to touch my family. God, I need You to touch my body. Matthew 7:7, "And ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you." There is something powerful about reading the Word of God. There is something powerful about when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, being able to apply His Word into your life. That He can give you strength at those moments, that He can give you power, that He can give you a sound mind, that He can give you peace, that He can help you with the anxiety and the stress. God, I need You to fix this. And God said, "I've got it right here. Just apply it to your life." God, I need You to take this away. And God said, "I've got everything you need right here. You're wanting something magical to happen. I've already given it to you. I just need you to search it out. I need you to open it. It's easy to find it. Just Google it if you have to. God, give me scriptures on peace. Don't be afraid to Google it. Just Google it. Get you a concordance. Put the word peace in the concordance and just start reading everywhere that that word peace is. Get your concordance out. Type in healing and start reading everywhere in the Word of God that somebody was healed. There's something powerful about it because it begins to stir up faith. It's the Word of God that is being breathed into your life. It's the Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword that works in and begins to do surgery in places that no doctor, no preacher, no pastor, nobody can get to. Like His Word can get to. Lord, I ask You right now, God, that You would put a burden inside of each and every one of us. Lord, that Your Spirit would move and flow, God, that Your will and Your way would be done. Lord, that there would be a burden inside of us to know You. And in order for us to know You, oh God, we've got to know Your Word. That we would apply it to our lives, God, that we would put Your Word inside of us that we may not sin against You. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. If I preach something, write it down. Go home and look it up for yourself. I don't know if I believe that. That's fine. Write it down. Go home. Look it up for yourself. Come back. Show it. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. Bring it back. Oh, we can talk about it. I'm not afraid to talk about the Word of God. I'm not afraid to sit down and be iron sharpeneth iron. And go home and read it for yourself. Research it. Don't just take my word for it. Go find it out for yourself and put it inside of you. Find out what you believe. There are some religions out there, they don't want them to know anything about the Word of God. Because as long as they're in the dark, they're like those Indonesians that they don't have a clue what they believe. They can tell them whatever they want to tell them. Get that Word and put it inside of you. Because that's the only way that you're going to be changed into the likeness of Him.